Coming up, Sarah takes a look at my favorite sound system. We'll decide whether it's worth buying a laptop with Linux built in and free internet from Freedom Pop. It's all next. Time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code BEFOREYOUBUY6. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show on TWiT, where we get the greatest products and we get our great staff to review them, to take a look. Now, I've talked a long time about the Sonos sound system. We did a review earlier of the Sonos subwoofer, but Sarah Lane just recently got Sonos for her apartment. We asked her to give us this review.
Hello, everybody. I'm Sarah Lane for Before You Buy. Welcome to my humble home. We're sort of in the audio section of my very small apartment. This is sort of where I've got, you know, my home theater. I've got my 3.1 surround sound for my movies and my music. I've got my nice receiver here. And this is all fine and good. But I thought, wouldn't it be kind of cool if I had like a speaker in my kitchen? So if I was cooking at the same time that I was watching Game of Thrones, I kind of got a little bit more sound in there, or maybe in my office on the other side of this wall, or maybe in my bedroom. Huh, how does one do something like that? And you do that with Sonos. Now, Sonos, you might recall, is a really good alternative for people who don't already have an existing speaker setup. In fact, a lot of people, as nice as my speakers are, aren't really interested in investing all this money, and you got to have all the space, and you kind of got to do all these fancy sorts of things and mount your TV in order for it to work properly. So Sonos is a great alternative for people who want a few speakers, don't need a receiver, want to keep it simple. But what about people like me who want a little of both? Well, you can do that as well, because Sonos has a component called the Kinect, not to be confused with the Microsoft Kinect, but it's spelled like C-O-N-N-E-C-T, that if you get down on your knees here, I know you want to do this, that's what this guy is right here. The Kinect is connected to my existing stereo receiver so that it connects to my existing speakers. Okay, well, now what? Follow me into the kitchen, will you? So you go into my kitchen area. Yeah, and you see how small my apartment actually is because you don't have far to go. But I've got a little Sonos Play 3 speaker. This guy is, I think, about $2.99. And I've got a speaker here. It's plugged into the wall, so it needs power. But it's not actually plugged into my existing system anywhere else. It is a wireless speaker. How does that work? Follow me again. Over here, cleverly hidden among my many Apple cords, is what's called the Sonos Bridge. This is basically like a router for your speaker system in your house. With the Sonos Bridge, the Sonos is actually talking to my internet router in my home and basically blasting a music signal from where the source of my music is to that speaker in my kitchen. Although, that's not even the only speaker I have, because I decided, because why not, to put another speaker in my home office area, which is sort of like my dining room also, and where my kitty litter is as well. So this is another Play 3 speaker, a Sonos speaker here. So if I'm sitting at my desk, I can listen to my nice music that's all sort of based in one place. All right, so there's a lot going on here. So how do I control everything? Well, here's where it's kind of cool and kind of clunky. So I've got a Mozart station because I'm a very cultured person, right? So I like to listen to a lot of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart station. With the Sonos app, which is something that you can just download for free, I can go ahead and connect it to a couple of different services. Now, I am connected to Pandora Radio right now, but I also have an RDO subscription, and I can also pull from my music library, which is basically my iTunes library. So you have some options, and there are other streaming services as well, but let's just go ahead and say Pandora Radio, and we'll go ahead into Now Playing. I said I was listening to the Mozart station. Now, if I go ahead and play this, it will be playing in a variety of different areas. Definitely coming out of these speakers. I can hear it coming out of that speaker there. You'll sort of have to trust me on this, but it's happening. I've got it playing on this speaker as well. So pros, the audio is great. It is very easy to control your audio via the app or via the web. You know, if you don't want to use one of the Sonos apps, you've got the web functionality as well. I really like the ease of being able to put speakers in a variety of different places. Even though I live in a very small apartment, maybe one day I will live in a palatial estate and I can have little Sonos speakers in every room, and you know, the whole house will fill with the sound of Mozart. Some cons is it's pretty expensive. I mean, for me to have put together this setup here, $349, I mean, we're up to about $1,000 in, and that's on top of my existing system. So it's not for everybody. You have to really be an audiophile and you have to really want this. I also found that troubleshooting right out of the box was a little bit clunky and confusing. I got it set up okay, but it took a while. So that's something to consider as well. Overall, I'm going to have to say bye. I love audio. I love music. I think more is better. I love the way that Mozart fills this house when I really wanted to. And I like having a little speaker next to my home office, in my kitchen. Office and kitchen are pretty much the two places I spend the most time. And then, of course, I've got my existing cool stereo setup in my main room as well. So that's me. I say buy Sonos if you've got the change and you want your music to go up to the next level. And that's my review for Before You Buy.
Thank you, Sarah Lane. You can see Sarah on so many shows here. Not only Tech News Today every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m., but also iPad Today and The Social Hour, too. Oh, and i5 for the iPhone. That's four, Megan, four. Hey, by the way, I just wanted to mention, because I'm a big Sonos fan, too, and I have all of those components. I really do agree with her. It's well worth buying if you can afford it, because it is expensive. But the convenience of being able to hook it up to your expensive, she has very expensive B&W speakers, and get that great stereo to play her Sonos music, whether it's Rhapsody or Moog or Spotify or RDO, Pandora, your own music, TuneIn Radio. I mean, it opens up a whole world of internet music to your stereo system, so it's really great. She had an app on her iPhone. There's iPad, Android, phone, Android tablet, and desktop apps for both Macintosh and Windows, so it really is easy to control. There even is, I don't think anybody would buy this, but you can get a Sonos remote. We have one here at the Brick House that has, you know, all the Sonos capabilities on a standalone remote device. Probably better to use your existing devices for that. Thank you, Sarah. Right now, I want to say hi to Shannon Morse, the producer of our show. Hi, Shannon. Good to see you. Shannon, you don't have Sonos in your palatial estate.
No, unfortunately.
It's great, though. I think Sarah's exactly right. You can expand it as you go. And we've expanded it here. I think we have 7 or 8 Sonos devices
in
our studio. At home, same thing. Every room in the house has Sonos. And it does something that you can't do on your own system. Somehow Sonos, they're not using Wi-Fi. They're on top of Wi-Fi, but they get everything synced up. So when you're in party mode and every speaker's playing the same thing, everything's in perfect sync. There's no, like, delay on one or lag
on
another.
That's one thing I'm definitely missing
in my
phone.
That makes a big difference. You can't do that with most other Wi-Fi solutions. Now, you've become, I'm sad to say, we got to find you a new category.
You're
Little Miss e-reader here.
I look like a librarian. I love my e-books.
Is that why you're wearing your glasses? So you got the Kobo Aura this time.
Yes, I do.
That's not. We've seen Kobo devices before. Kobo is kind of an also-ran in the Kindle Nook universe.
Yes.
But we like these Kobo readers. What's different about the Aura?
You know, I read a little bit about the research on Kobo. Apparently, it's very, very big internationally.
And
that Kindles aren't so big internationally.
Right.
These are kind of taking up that little section of the market. So that's why Kobo is still such a big seller, even though they don't have such a big library as Amazon does.
Yeah.
They're worldwide.
Right.
So this is the Kobo Aura HD. I like to call this the rich man's Kobo.
Well, it's not that expensive.
$170.
$170.
$170.
Okay. So it's like $100 more than the cheapest Kindle.
Yes. It's more expensive than a Kindle Paperwhite with the ads installed on it. So it is a little bit pricey. I prefer the cheaper ones, but this one, the big thing about this is the screen. It has 256 DPI screen. It's HD.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
1440 by 1080. That's a high def.
It even has.
Can you tell the difference?
To be honest, if I'm just using this to read books,
not really.
You can't really see a big difference.
Because I feel like those e-ink screens look pretty crisp as it is.
They do. Yeah. It has the light installed, just like the Kobo Glow, and you can definitely see it glowing off of my hand right there.
That's
and
nice. You don't need a lamp.
Yeah, you can cut up the brightness or cut it down. The other thing I wanted to note is it's really, really fast. So if you're a fast reader, you're going to have no problems flipping through the pages. It's crazy, super fast. Now, the hardware on this guy is a little bit heavy. It's 8 ounces, which is heavier than the Kindle Paperwhite. It's heavier than any of the other Kobos that are on the market. It also doesn't have that quilted back, and you can see all the fingerprints that I've been bringing up back here.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, and the reason why they went with this back is to make it more ergonomic. So
well,
when you
see,
automatically pick it up.
Yeah, it feels like it fits your hand. Yeah,
That little tip right there. So it fits my knuckles very well. It looks nice.
Yeah.
I don't like the big fat red power button right there. It was kind of ugly to me, but it's just a little built-in.
You know why I do like it? Because you can find it.
Yes.
It's always a question. Where's the power button on these
Yes,
things?
You can. Yeah. It's very easy to find. So overall, it's a really quick review with this guy. It's definitely very nice. We already know about the Kobo library, and it's very easy to install things. Wi-Fi is already installed on here. You just have to connect to your local one. It has a micro SD card slot right here for up to 32 gigs. It also has a few gigs installed on it already as well. So my pros and cons with this are the beautiful screen, of course. That's
the selling point, isn't it?
It's very pretty. And I like that it has the backlight. Mm-hmm. I really like that about these new ones because that's great. You know, I can read it when I'm in bed and not wake up my snoring fiance. And the cons, it is definitely heavy. That's probably the first thing that I noticed when I pulled this out of the box. And it is a little more expensive than the other ones that you'll find on the market. So that's definitely something to consider if you're buying this. So if you're a rich guy and you want to have a really nice e-reader, then you could definitely try this. But I don't think I would give it a buy.
You're going to say a try.
Yeah, I'm going to say a try for
All right.
the Kobo.
But probably only if you're in the Kobo universe.
Yeah.
It's not like your hand's going to go home.
Of course not.
But it is heavier. It feels a little heavier than a Kindle.
Yeah, you can feel it.
I pretty much say everybody should buy a Kindle unless you have a strong reason otherwise. Like
if you're an
US.
International user, this is definitely something to think about.
Yeah. And you're right. I can't tell how much the higher resolution on that. It's not like a tablet. Thank you, Shannon. Shannon is the host of ThreatWire, which you'll see every week on YouTube channel.
YouTube.com/TechFeed.
TechFeed.
That's right.
And, of course, on Hack5 as well. And she produces the show for us. You can email her if you've
got
suggestions for something you'd like to see on the show. It's byb@twit.tv. And we do put all of our videos up on YouTube.
Yeah, we do.
So far, nothing's been blocked. It's the one YouTube channel that doesn't get blocked. YouTube.com/beforeyoubuy.
And I should mention, I'm not going to be on the show next week. I'll be down at E3 doing live coverage for Twit.
That's exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah. You're going to go to the Sony conference. You're going to go to the Microsoft conference. You're going to give us a. We're going to have. Who's going to be down there with you? Chad,
Lamar.
Lamar
and
Wilson.
And then we'll have our camera guy, Brent.
And
our audio guy, Ryan.
Awesome. That's great.
I can't wait.
And I think Father Robert's going to be down there as well.
Oh,
so maybe we'll get a little video of him. Brian Brush would usually go. So we'll get some other people down there too.
It'll be fun.
Hey, our show today brought to you by stamps.com. If you do a lot of mailing, you got to know about stamps.com. It's going to take your operation and make it pro. We use it all the time. In fact, we have two accounts. We use it so much. Stamps.com, the whole idea is it's postage on demand. You don't ever go to the post office. You don't need a postage meter either. In fact, you'll save up to 80% over the cost of a postage meter because you're going to use your computer and your printer. You don't need special anything. Just stamps.com. your computer, your printer. You can print postage right on envelopes, which means you can put the company logo, the postage, a return address automatically. It'll even take the sender's address, the recipient's address, from your address book or QuickBooks. If you sell on Amazon or eBay, PayPal or Etsy, it'll do that too. So if you're an Etsy seller, you know, this is the big problem of being an Etsy seller. I got to do all the mailing. Stamps.com automates the whole thing just like you're a big mailing operation. It's fantastic for any small business. Anytime you do a lot of mailing, this is going to save you time. It'll print out postage for any class of mail. In fact, Stamps.com will even help you choose the right class of mail for what you're sending. They have a great USB scale. I'm going to show you how you can get that for free in a second. That makes sure that you always have exactly the right postage for any class of mail. They'll even do things like fill out forms for international mailing. You can automatically send emails to the recipient with a tracking number if you're using Priority or Express Mail. You get discounts on Priority and Express Mail. You cannot even get at the post office. I can give you so many reasons to get Stamps.com, but the best reason of all is our $110 no-risk trial. Not the one on the front page. No, click the microphone at Stamps.com and enter in our offer code before you buy, all one word, and you'll get a $110 bonus offer. It includes $55 in free postage to use over the first few months of your Stamps.com account. You'll also get that USB scale. You just pay the shipping and handling, about $5 for that. You get a $5 supply kit, kind of way to make that up. And, of course, a free month of Stamps.com. Print your own postage like that. Stamps.com. Make sure you go to click the microphone and use before you buy as the offer code, because we want to give you that $110 bonus value. So Patrick Delahanty, one of our newest employees here, he's great. We're so glad we got him out of here from Boston. He's a programmer. He's working on our website. He's done a lot of internal workflow stuff for us as well. But he also found some time to review the iDapt Universal Charger. Take a look.
Hi, my name is Patrick Delahanty. I'm the web engineer here at Twit, and I am reviewing the iDapt Universal Charger i4. This charger provides three charging slots, and you can put in different tips. This one provided six different tips, and you charge three devices in the top, and there's a USB slot in the side. The chargers that came with this were the iPod and iPhone charger, the 30-pin connector, micro USB, mini USB, Sony Ericsson 2, Samsung 4, and Nokia 2. Now, these little tips just plug right into the iDapt base, and then you plug the phone into that or whatever other device you're charging. And there's a single power button, so you can power on and off, and there's just one power cable. So it's intended to reduce the cord clutter. The device has a glossy finish on top, and it's a very sturdy device, but it does attract a lot of fingerprints. I did discover when I plug my iPad into this, it really can't support that. It falls over. The tips are designed to rock back and forth a little bit to prevent it from snapping off if somebody bumps it. It is a little pricey. It's $64.99. And that includes the six tips I mentioned. You can buy another version that has four tips, and it's $6.37 extra, but you get to pick the four tips you want. But if you've got a lot of devices to charge, this is a good option. The pros, it reduces the clutter and brings you down to one power cord. And it includes six tips, or four if you buy the custom pack. It's also available in a variety of colors and themes. On the cons, you'll almost certainly need to buy extra tips. The Sony Ericsson 2, Samsung 4, and Nokia 2 are kind of out of date. So the useful ones are the USB and the iPhone. So is this a buy, try, or don't buy? I'll give it a buy, but do check the cost and see if it's cost-effective for you to use this solution. For Before You Buy, I'm Patrick Delahanty, and this is the iDapt Universal Charger i4.
I love that Boston Strong t-shirt. We got him from Boston, but his heart's still in the Back Bay. Thank you, Patrick Delahanty. All right, now we're going to go to I'm very curious about this. Tony Wang, who is our editor-in-chief, and one of our longest employees, he's like the fifth employee at Twit, bought this for himself. This is the Freedom Pop. We've been hearing a lot about it. The idea is it's free Wi-Fi. Let's see what Tony thinks.
I'm Tony Wynn for 2L TV, and before you buy, today I'm reviewing the Freedom Pop Photon. The Freedom Pop Photon is a Wi-Fi hotspot offered by Freedom Pop, who actually, I found out, is actually backed by AOL.com, so that's very interesting. Why would you want a Freedom Pop? It's free. What you do is you pay for a sort of a rental for the device, which is $89.99, and when you return the device, you get your money back. And what you get in terms of service is that you get 500 megabytes free every month. And if you like to use more, they have plans for 2 and 4 gigabytes as well. 2 gigabyte is $18 a month, and 4 gigabyte is a little bit cheaper at $7.25 per gigabyte. If you don't use your device at all per month, they actually charge you a 99 cent fee to keep your account active. So you have to use at least 5 megabytes a month. So there's no contract with the Freedom Pop service. If you go over your 500 megabyte cap, you're charged $20 per gigabyte. Pro of the Photon, you can have up to 8 devices connected at one time, and the battery life is about 6 hours. Con for Freedom Pop, it's actually serviced by Sprint, so the coverage might vary. When you go to their website, you can actually enter in your address, and they'll tell you if you're eligible to get service with Freedom Pop. Buy Try or Don't Buy is definitely a buy for the Photon. The price of freedom is free. I'm Tony for 2L TV, and before you buy, and this is the Photon.
Free as in free beer. That's pretty amazing. But you do have to have Sprint coverage where you are. They are using LTE now. They originally only used Clearwire. It's been intriguing me for some time. This was started by Niklas Zennström, the guy who started Skype. And, I think he's got a pretty good credibility, so... sounds like it's worth a try. Thank you, Tony. Editor-in-Chief Tony Wang, who says, bye, bye, bye. Now, we're going to say hi, 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 well, in just a second anyway, to Padre, Father Robert Ballister. He's got a streaming projector. But before we do that, let me mention Shutterstock.com, our great sponsor. Shutterstock is a marketplace of stock photos, videos, vector illustrations. They just upped it. It was 20 million. That's now like 25 million strong. It's amazing. If you are a blogger, a publisher, if you create PowerPoint presentations, you really need to know about Shutterstock.com. One of the things I love about Shutterstock is that search bar you see right there. You can narrow down the search not only by subject matter, but by emotion, by gender. You can search for hippos, but you can also search for cranky hippos, happy hippos, sad hippos. It's kind of amazing. And their spectrum color tool means you can search by color, too. So if you've got a palette you need to be compatible with, this is a great way to do it. Sign up for a free Shutterstock account, and you can immediately start creating light boxes, which allow you to collect images into a box and share it with other designers, or just use it for inspiration on your own. As a blogger, I've been using Shutterstock images for the last few weeks because I got that 25 image a day account, and I have to say, it really not only the obvious dresses up your blog, it also is kind of gives you some inspiration. You can go through Shutterstock, pick some images, and say, "Oh, that gives me an idea to write." I love Shutterstock. I know you will, too. That's why we've arranged a very special deal for new customers. As I said, it's free to set up the account, but if you decide to buy, and they have a variety of ways you can buy. You can buy packages of images or that subscription I've got, the 25-a-day subscription, which I love. You can do that and get 30% off right now when you use our offer code before you buy at checkout. Actually, it's before you buy 6 because we're in the month of June. So before you buy 6... on checkout. If you've got an iPad, by all means, check out the Shutterstock app. It's free, a Webby Award winner. It is gorgeous. It's a great inspirational tool to get your juices flowing, your creative juices flowing. Shutterstock.com, free to take a look, browse all you want, take a look at all their images, their videos, their vector graphics. But if you decide to buy, make sure you use the offer code before you buy 6 to get 30% off at checkout. Shutterstock.com. Father Robert Ballister is here. He is a brand new member of the TWiT hosting staff, and we're very excited about having you. You're going to be doing some new shows. I know you and Shannon are going to do a programming show. I'm very excited about that. Robert's also the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech and has something kind of unusual. It's called a streaming projector. What is that, Robert?
Well, it's as if you took a Pico projector and then a Roku streaming stick and you had an unholy baby between them.
That's funny when you say it. Let's take a look at his review.
The SBR 1000 is an ultra-portable 3M device that gives users a pocket-sized, feature-rich Pico projector combined with a Roku stick. The SBR 1000 is small, but not tiny. It measures 4.3 inches by 4.2 inches by 2 inches. So when I say pocket-sized, I really mean size that could fit into the pants pockets of a big old fat priest. The unit does weigh less than a pound, so even its not-so-small smallness still feels, well, small. The layout is Spartan. The front of the projector is dominated by a lens and a cooling air intake. The left side hides a small thumb wheel for focus. The right side has a power port, headphone jack, and the cooling outlet. Buttons for power, menu, and volume control line the top of the unit, and a standard tripod mount can be found on the bottom. The SBR 1000 has a native resolution of 854 by 480, but will upscale to 720 and 1080i internally. The LED provides 60 lumens of light, which isn't a lot, but can still produce a surprisingly bright picture, even on non-ideal surfaces and relatively bright rooms. The rear of the SBR 1000 is purpose-built to house a Roku streaming MHL-enabled HDMI stick, but it can also act as cable management for any standard HDMI cable. The HDMI port on the SBR 1000 supports both HDMI and MHL. This means that those with MHL-enabled phones or tablets will be able to plug their devices directly into the projector without any additional adapters or converters. This capability adds functionality to the unit, though you may want to check the MHL certification of your portable device. While some of the MHL devices work flawlessly, the signal from my Samsung Galaxy Nexus 2 tended to freeze. Power comes through a 12-volt, 24-watt AC adapter or from the internal rechargeable battery. The SBR 1000 is rated for 2.5 hours of life in eco mode, though standard use tended to drain the battery in just under 2 hours. If you use an MHL-enabled device, which will pull power through the HDMI port, expect your runtime to drop into the 90-minute range. The projector will take both audio and video through the HDMI input and includes a single integrated speaker that produces respectable sound for such a small device, but any lengthy listening would be best with external speakers or a set of headphones. Like most Pico projectors, the SBR 1000 lacks an integrated stand for adjusting projection angle, and there is no keystone settings to fix the distortion of picture. But the SBR 1000's tripod mount makes it possible to position the unit in most any direction. Using the SBR 1000 is simple. If you want to connect it to any standard 1080i and below HDMI device, you simply plug the cable into the port on the back of the unit, snap the cable management cover into place, turn it on, and you're projecting. Of course, the main feature of the SBR 1000 is the tight integration with the Roku stick. The projector boots directly into the Roku operating system and gives you an easy-to-use menu for calling up your channels. The Roku streaming stick supports dual-band 802.11 BGN Wi-Fi, WEP, WPA, and WPA2 encryption, and MHL support up to 1080p. The unit comes with a basic IR remote control, which can control both the projector and the Roku stick, meaning that novice users won't get stuck in a menu disaster. The quality of the projection really depends on how long of a throw and how big of a picture you want. At 3 to 4 feet from the projection surface, the SBR 1000 will create a bright, saturated 27-inch image that is sharp with readable text and decent details. However, as the picture gets larger, it gets progressively degraded and dim. The 120-inch image claimed by 3M is really only possible if you were using the projector in a place that was completely dark, on a surface that was uber-reflective, and if you're a wizard living at Hogwarts. The 3M SBR 1000 streaming projector powered by Roku is available with a 1-year limited warranty. You can find it online for about $220.
And I think the biggest thing on these little projectors, and you really mentioned it, but I always want to underscore it, is they're not very bright. So you can't get too far back, which means you can't get them too big. 27 inches right. is probably a realistic right. distance. Let me ask
they
you about,
say,
go ahead.
They say 120 inches,
yeah,
but really
crazy.
If you go above 30 inches, it's you just can't see
yeah.
it anymore.
Yeah. Now, you were talking about MHL. As I remember, when we were doing MHL on know-how, some Samsung phones kind of swap some of the pins, so you may have to get a special MHL adapter for some phones.
Right. MHL is supposed to be a standard, but for some reason, a few manufacturers, Samsung included, decided to swap the pins to make it proprietary,
yeah.
which is a pain.
Yeah.
But, you know, it worked fine on my S2. It worked fine on my S4. Did not work well on my Nexus.
Okay. That's good to know. So let's get the pros and cons. First, the pros.
Pros is it's portable. I mean, it's portable. It's battery powered, which makes it really nice. If you're looking for a fun device, something that could just throw an image up if you want to share a couple of pictures or show a movie. This is great. It's also surprisingly portable, and it's MHL enabled. I mean, to have a device that's MHL enabled that's this size means that your phone becomes your computer. Anywhere you want it, you can toss it up on a screen and you're good to go. Now, the cons are that it includes a really large power supply. I mean, the power supply is over half the size of the projector. And I don't know why they do this. This power supply is larger than the power supply for my laptop.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously they cheaped out on that. The other thing is that it has really weak speakers. You can plug in external speakers or headphones, but this single speaker right here, it's anemic. You can barely hear it over the fan noise of the unit. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is, and this is sort of a geek setting, there is no keystone option. So I can't fix the distortion if I put the projector at an angle, which means you need to have the projector straight onto the surface. Otherwise, it's going to slant one way or another.
That's fairly significant. Most of the big size projectors do, in fact, have that adjustment. So you can be at a lower or upper angle this way. You're saying you have to be exactly perpendicular to the wall to get the screen square. Yeah. So try, buy, don't buy?
I'd say this is a buy. But believe it or not, even with all those cons, this is something that if you want a small projector, if you want something that you can give to the kids, if you want something while you travel, it's an excellent choice. It's battery powered. It's light. It is really feature rich for the price. Yeah. It's a nice thing to have in your travel bag.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, that's a $230. That's a really low price, as long as you understand what the limitations are. And I think you've done a good job of explaining those. So a buy for the, say it again, who makes this? The 3M SPR 1000?
It's a horrible marketing fail name.
Yeah.
Streaming projector powered by Roku. The better name is the SPR 1000.
SPR 1000. And I do like it that you don't have to bring your Roku remote with you, that one remote works for both the projector and the Roku.
Right.
That's neat. Robert, you might want to stick around. I know you're a laptop fan. I know you're getting the new Acer S7 with a Haswell chip. I'm jealous. But I thought I'd try something a little bit different. You know, Dell makes these XPS Ultrabooks. They're nice Ultrabooks for Windows. In fact, this one has a Windows 8 key on it. But I ain't running Windows 8 on here. This is running Ubuntu Linux. This is the Dell XPS 13 Developer Edition, and it is a Linux laptop. It's not the first that Dell has sold, but it's been a while since we've seen one. It's got Ubuntu 12.04 long-term support version on it. Now, that's important. I'll explain why in a second. And it runs out of the box beautifully. The camera works, a nice HD camera, keyboard, trackpad. One of the problems a lot of people have with putting Linux on an existing laptop is getting that trackpad to be responsive to work well. And this one does, because Dell's provided all the drivers for all the hardware. They made or sourced the hardware, and they made sure that Ubuntu 12.04 worked fine, and it does. Now, you might want to stay with 12.04 LTS, because if you go to version 13, as I did, things may not work quite as well. The drivers may not be as readily available. I found one thing that broke immediately was Chrome, because somehow, for some reason, Ubuntu in version 13 eliminated a key library that Chrome was using. Google's fixed this by offering a Chrome installer that fixes that library. But it took me a while to figure out what was going on. And that's really the problem. If you're a Linux geek, you're going to love this. But I can't recommend Linux as an alternative desktop for anybody who would normally be in the market for Windows or a Mac. It's a pretty beefy machine. It's got up to 3.1 gigahertz i7 in here, 8 gigs of DDR3 RAM, a 256 gigabyte SSD. So it's fast, fast, fast. And I love the screen, a 1920 by 1080 13.3-inch screen. Very high resolution, very crisp. It doesn't say IPS, but I think it must be IPS, given that I can be looking at this angle and read the screen very clearly. I mean, it's a really spectacular screen. And at that resolution, you know, 1920 by 1080 on a 13-inch screen, this is the kind of thing Linux geeks love, because they can have a nice big terminal, they can have a nice big IDE, they can have a chat room running. They like to have more on here. It does have a nice mini display port on the side, and I was able to drive a variety of monitors with that, no problem. It's even got USB 3 and USB 2 ports on it. No SD card, and the keyboard doesn't light up, which those are a couple of things that people who buy Windows laptops might be a little surprised at. Under 3 pounds, it's light, it's thin, no optical drive, but but a very nice developer edition. And I tell you, of course, if you're a Linux geek, you probably part of the fun of it is getting it to run on Windows hardware. But if you don't want to spend the energy doing that, this is a great choice for a developer or anybody who wants to use Linux, just pure straight out of the box. I did a couple of customizations almost right away. I'm not a fan of the Unity desktop that Ubuntu has chosen for 12.04, so I replaced it with the Xubuntu's XFCE desktop. Actually, I'm using the Xubuntu desktop with XFCE. That's a nice, lightweight. In fact, Linus Torvalds recommends it. He says, I don't like Unity either. So he uses XFCE. Not a perfect desktop, but that's one of the advantages of Linux. Very, very customizable. So pros and cons. I didn't mention the biggest, but I'll save it for the cons. Pros and cons on this. The pro, it's fabulous screen. It is Linux out of the box, works great. Everything works great. And it's a high-end laptop with a lot of nice features. Cons, no backlit keyboard. That's kind of a negative. Lack of an SD card. Mostly, though, the biggest con is the price, $1,649. This is a pricey laptop. $1,549. $1,649 is the starting price, but for some reason, Dell doesn't ever sell it at that price. They take $100 off the top. Okay, $1,549. Still very pricey. Pretty much the same price as our Acer S7, which arguably has some advantages over it. And if you're good with Linux and drivers, I think you probably just buy a Windows laptop and put Linux on it yourself. It is so strange, though, to see a Windows 8 key on a Linux laptop. Come on, Dell, make a new key. How much is that going to pop this one off? Put one with a Tux on it, okay? Would you do me a favor? That's ridiculous. At least they do take off the Windows inside, and they do give you a little Ubuntu logo on the bottom. I love how it feels. It's fun having a Linux laptop that works so well out of the box. But I have to say, it's a don't buy simply because of the price. You can get a cheaper laptop or a laptop with more features at the same price. Put Linux on it yourself. Thank you, Robert Ballister. Great to see you. Thank you, Shannon Morse. Of course, thanks to Tony and Patrick and Sarah. And who am I leaving out, Shannon? I mentioned Tony and you. I think I mentioned everybody. Thanks most of all. And you know who I left out? You. Thank you for being here. We love doing the show. We hope you enjoy it. Tell your friends. All the reviews are put up on our YouTube channel individually. So if somebody's interested in a Linux laptop, you can say, oh, go to youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. They've got a review of that or the Freedom Pop or any of the things you see on this show. And sometimes they're longer longer reviews than the ones we put on the air.
Sarah's is long.
Sarah's goes on and on. For a little person, she can talk a lot. And that's because she works with me. She's learned. And of course, you can always email us if there's something you'd like to see us review, byb@twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. And remember, you got to watch before you buy.